Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
Today's scripture reading will be from Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones.
You know, as we come together in our worship, whether it's Sunday morning or Sunday night, or whether we are at a gospel meeting, whatever it is that we are brings us together to engage in the worship, I hope that we're always constantly aware of the fact that we have come together to worship Almighty God. We are not the audience in what we do in worship, but God is the audience. The songs that Larry has led us in focus our attention on God, and that's where it ought to be. The prayer in which James England led us, the focus is on Almighty God and our need for Him. The scripture that Bob read focuses on our need for God's direction in our lives. And what I'd like to do in this lesson this morning, I usually like to do a textual sermon. Today's sermon is topical. We're looking at the heart of discipleship, and there'll be three points that I will make. And I hope I'm not, or that I haven't trivialized them in such a way that you dismiss them. The points I make are points that I hope will be simple enough to sink in and help all of us as we think about our relationship with God. You know, you and I live in an instant world. I know all the instant foods and, you know, microwavable popcorn and all of that. But I think, you know, really today, we're so used to that, we're thinking about technology today. I remember a few years ago, we took a family vacation to Pigeon Forge, and there is a ride there. I don't remember the name of the thing. I just remember I was scared to death. But they fit you in a thing that goes around your body, and you're hooked to a steel cable. And that steel cable, you're pulled up, not straight up, but you're pulled back. And then you pull the cord to release yourself. Well, Wanda did that first, and not to be outdone, I had to do it. Well, you know, I thought I was going to have a story to tell when we got back to town. Well, unbeknownst to me, it had already been posted on Facebook. So a whole lot of people knew it before I ever got back to town. But that's the way things are. Things happen, and so it's immediately posted on Facebook. And that's not bad. That's not bad. But the kind of world in which we live today, my fear is that we tend to equate the quick, the immediacy, with Christianity. That just all of a sudden, you know, I'm a dedicated Christian. I know everything I need to know. I'm strong as I'll ever need to be. But that's not true. Because discipleship, when you're thinking about discipleship. And there are so many things that when we're talking about the heart of discipleship, there's so many things that could be said. And I'm just mentioning three in the sermon this morning, but so many things that could be said. But discipleship is not an instant thing. It's a lifelong process that we go through. Many years ago, Wanda and I were doing a mission teacher workshop at a congregation in Missouri. Well, while we had some free time, the preacher and his wife carried us to a place called Elephant Rocks State Park. I'd never heard of it, obviously had never been there before, but it was fascinating because here are these huge granite boulders. I mean, just huge. And they're all over the place. And it's south of St. Louis and a little to the west. It's kind of, in a sense, out in the middle of nowhere. Obviously, the little town that it's closest to is Graniteville because of the granite rocks that are there. But it served as a quarry for a number of years. That granite was quarried for streets, buildings in St. Louis, and a number of other famous places. But as we went through those huge rocks, every now and then you'd come upon the name of a man and a date that had been chiseled into that granite. And that man's name was an employee of that quarry, and the date that was chiseled into the rock was the date that he was certified to work in that quarry, that he was qualified to be able to cut the stone that would be shipped off to other places to be used as steps, buildings, or whatever it was. But the amazing thing is, and of course, obviously, I knew nothing about quarrying stone, but the amazing thing is it took 7 years. 7 years for a man to complete his apprenticeship. Well, when we start thinking about ourselves as Christians, we don't go through a one-year process, a three-year, a 10-year. No, it's a lifelong process that we go through. All our lives, we really have to consider ourselves as believers under construction or Christians under construction, because the process is never complete. We continue to progress and to progress and to progress and to progress. We grow in our knowledge. We grow in our faith. And so it's a lifelong process. Now, as I said, there are three things that I want us to focus on this morning when we think about this lifelong process. And again, I hope the phrases that I use are not trivial, but I hope they'll help all of us to make the point this is a lifelong process. Number one, we need to realize that we are travelers on a road. As I said, we don't get there in 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. It's that lifelong process. But we are travelers on a road. Now, as we travel this road, we have to decide whether we are a tourist or we are a pilgrim. You see, if I'm a tourist, I plan the trip, I pack for the trip, I decide where I'm going, how long I'm going to stay, and what I'll do when I get there. But when I think of myself as a pilgrim, I am traveling to a destination. And when I get to that destination, that's where I settle down. That's where I make my home. You see, when we are making this trip, there are things that can cry out for our attention. But we have to remember, I'm on a road. I'm on a journey. And the road doesn't end here. The road ends in heaven. That's my goal. That's where I want to go. That's my goal. In Hebrews chapter 11, the Great Faith Hall of Fame, there's something that's said about Abraham and Sarah as they were on their journey through life. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Verse 13, all these died in faith without having received the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. You see, this world is not my home. We sing that, don't we? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. But too many people focus right here. They focus in the here and the now, and they're not thinking about the hereafter. And they forget that they are on a road. You know, it's easy to become content with money, a certain level of spirituality, or this or that. But no, this is not it. This life is not it. We're looking for a heavenly home, a home that's far beautiful than anything we can build on this earth. But that's where we're going. We are on a road. It's a lifelong process. But as we think about this process, we have to ask ourselves, am I learning about Jesus or am I learning from Jesus? It's easy to know the facts about Jesus' life, where he was born, when he was born, when he died, how long he lived, about 33 and a half years. And we know who his mother was. We know the earthly father who married Mary after she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. We know the cities that he traveled to in that small part of the world. We know some of the things we taught. We don't know everything he taught, but we can know some of the things he taught. Those are things about Jesus. But do I know Jesus? Am I learning about him or am I learning from him? Am I looking at his life as my model for discipleship? Am I looking at him, his life, for the pattern for how I need to live my life? In John chapter 13, as Jesus would be up there in that upper room with the apostles, we have the record of Jesus washing their feet. But this is what I want us to look at. This is John chapter 13, beginning at verse 12. And so when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at table again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I, then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, You also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you. Wash one another's feet. That's merely an example of how to live. You live a life of service. You live a life of doing good. You live a life of being obedient to the Father. You see, I have to look at Jesus. He, Jesus alone, He has to be my pattern. I remember when my mother would make her own dresses or blouses. She had the pattern. She laid it out on the material and she cut it. And then she sewed that together. And having followed that pattern, she made the dress that she wanted. You see, when we follow the pattern of Jesus, then our life becomes what it should be. Ah, yes, I know we're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes because Jesus is perfect. He made no mistakes. He committed no sins. And yet we know we have our failings. There are those things that we do that are not right, that are sins in the eyes of God. And yet we want to conform our lives more and more and more to His image so that those things are becoming a part of my past. I'm not living like that anymore. And even though I may make mistakes from time to time, I can still repent of those sins, and I know that my relationship with God is what it should be through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to become more and more like Him, because that's what I need to be displaying to the world. Jesus is not here physically with us, but He is here spiritually in us. As He lives through us, as we live for Him, as we display His life for the world. And that's how we can help reach the world. We give them the Word, but we also give them an example of what Christ was like. Jesus was God in the flesh. So when Jesus was here in the world, in the life that He lived, He was helping us to see God. And in the pattern that's been revealed to us in the New Testament, there's the pattern that helps us to know what God is like. And it also helps us to know what we need to be like. But that's a lifelong process. I never arrive until the day I die. That's when I arrive. And then I'm ready for Jesus to come again. All right, we're on a road. That's point number one. Point number two. We need to be aware of the fact that there are some potholes, if you will, out there in the world. And we need to be aware of those potholes. We need to be aware of the dangers that those potholes pose for us. As I was scanning, looking for pictures to use for the PowerPoint this morning, I ran across this one right here. And I have a weird sense of humor. Those of you that are around me very much, you know, I have a weird sense of humor. And the first thought that crossed my mind when I saw that sign is, what is a slow pothole? And if there's a slow pothole ahead, why would I want to use it at my risk? St. Thomas Hospital has a sign as you come into their parking lot, and it says, slow, bump speed. Well, what is bump speed? I hadn't figured that one out yet either. There are potholes out there in the road. Now, you know, when we start thinking about the things that we face out there, I guess there are what we would call the big three. You know, we lump things into categories, the big three. And so there's the devil, And there is the flesh. There is the world. The big three as we look at them. And as we think about those, the devil, the flesh, and the world, then we kind of put that into three categories. There's power, there's possessions, and there's popularity. So, you know, here they are. You know, we lump everything together. But the next slide is 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 through 5. This is the New Living Translation, and I included this particular quotation because I thought it made the words maybe a little easier to understand. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. Is that bringing a little closer to home? Instead of thinking of power and popularity and possessions. See, that kind of gets down to the nitty-gritty. That gets down to where we live every day. Now, what some people will do, they'll take this passage and they'll have Paul writing to Timothy that in the latter times, there's coming an age way on out there, way out there, when people will be terrible like that. People have been like that for a long time because we're living in the last days. And you can look at those words right there, and you can see how people are living today. It's not the big three, but this is where we are right here. And if you want to look at some other passages in this regard, you can look at Colossians and Ephesians. Where Paul deals with both of these issues in very long, extended texts that we don't have time to read this morning. But Paul in Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 17, and then going on into chapter 5, and then when you get into Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, Paul in chapter 3, he begins really basically in verse 1 and just goes on down through verse 16. That's where we are. Those are the things that get us. Those are the things that are the potholes. Those are the things that we like to ignore. We get into some of these areas, gossip and lies, and, you know, they are white. Those are white sins. But when you get to murder and things like that, you know, those are bad sins. Those are black sins. But I don't see any distinction in what Paul's writing here. Whether you're looking in Ephesians, Colossians, or 2 Timothy, and even 1 Timothy. Paul just lists them one after the other. And he doesn't say, this one's not too bad. This one, boy, you really need to avoid. No, that's not the point he makes. All right, number 3. We're not only traveling on a road, there are potholes in the road, but number three, we need to learn the rules of the road. You know, when a teenager starts learning to drive, you know, they are with a parent or they are in a driver education class. And the reason we're doing that is so that when they are out there in the car, when they are actually driving, they don't panic. They don't feel like they're driving some kind of military vehicle down the road. We want them to have a good experience. And Sean, if you'll go ahead and move on through those. We want them to get beyond the panic and the, you know, what am I driving? It drives like a tank, or I'm wound up here on the electric wires and looking around. No, that's not what you want. You want them to have a good experience. Well, that comes when they learn the rules of the road. And let me quickly give you three of those. Number one, we need to make sure we're on the right road. John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me." I have to be on the right road. The only way I can get to God is through Jesus Christ. It's not some other religion out there in the world. It is only through Jesus Christ. Number two, I have to have the right map. What am I following? What is my guide? Am I listening to some person? Am I reading some mistranslation of Scripture that's translated in such a way to support the false doctrines that I believe? Or am I taking the revealed Word of God? That has to be my guide. That's the only thing that I can follow. But not only the right road, the right map, but I have to stay alert. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, Peter would write, "Be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." You see, I have to be aware of the fact that the devil is coming after me. If he was bold enough to tempt the Lord, he's certainly bold enough to come after me. Right road, right map. Stay alert and stay focused, because I am headed in one direction only, and that is being headed toward heaven. Discipleship, it's a lifelong process. I'm traveling a road. And as I travel that road, I need to be aware of the dangers that can be out there. And as I'm also aware of the dangers that are out there, I also must make sure that I know how to travel that road. I read this statement some time ago. And that statement says, "The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step." The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Well, let me say to you, the journey to heaven begins with a single step. Just moving, taking that first step and moving toward God through Jesus Christ. And it begins by my repenting of my sins, turning from that old lifestyle. confessing Jesus as the Son of God, being buried with Him in baptism for the forgiveness of my sins, to be raised to walk in newness of life, and then living faithfully to Him on that road of faith that finally ends in heaven. If you're not a Christian, we extend the Lord's invitation to you to come to Him. If you've strayed away from the Lord, again, we extend His invitation to come to Him. Whatever you need, won't you come while we stand and sing?